Yo, yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron. And today we have a different episode than usual. Today we have the average listener. I've always wanted to get just an average person on the podcast just to see what they do when they trade, how they trade, what their trading is like, their biggest wins, their biggest losses, some of their ideas, philosophies, and just, you know, get to know them. These are the people that listen to this podcast. These are you guys. And you know what? I always want to talk to you guys just one-on-one, see what's going on. See how, what your take is on the crypto world. Well, today I found one. And this is Job Plas. Job Plas is in Germany. We had a Skype call. And I'm very excited to have this conversation with him. It's coming up right now. But before that, please go to iTunes, rate us, leave us a comment. It helps us move us up the ranks and so people can find us a little better. Anyway, without further ado, here is Job Plas. All the music is selected by him. These are the songs that he wanted with his interview. Enjoy. We'll see you after the program. So how do you say your name? Is it Job or Job?
So the Dutch pronunciation is Job, but whatever like is most comfortable for you. Like I'm working with a lot of international people, so I've been basically like learned to reach to what to listen to whatever is closest to that. So
but it's Job.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah,
Job, and is, the last name is Plas.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, cool, man.
That's good.
Well, nice to meet you. So Job, tell me who you are, where you're from, and how did you get into crypto?
I've been born and raised in the Netherlands in the beautiful city of Groningen. It's a very cool student city in the north of the Netherlands. And yeah, I've been studying there. I've done my semester abroad in Taiwan. So yeah, it was pretty fun for me to live in Taiwan for half a year back then.
You lived in Taiwan? What part?
Yeah, in Taipei.
Oh, okay, cool. How long did you live here?
For about half a year.
Oh, right on, man. You learned Chinese over here, or was it just for...
At the university there, and just half a year, just business course. I had a little bit of Chinese. I have my Chinese name and stuff that like the teacher gave us one. So it was a lot of fun, and I have still some great friends in Taiwan living. So yeah, that was an amazing experience there.
Right on, man. Right on. I'm sorry. I just get excited about the conversation, so I cut people off. So. Just start back in where you left off.
Yeah, no worries. So basically, I did my year abroad and finished my studies in 2012. Then I moved to Germany. I now work for AdBlock Plus. A lot of people actually know our product. It's an ad blocker for your browser that just removes all of the annoying ads. And there's been a great adventure to work for that for the company. So we started with six people back in 2012, and about 3 months back, we've hired our 100th employee. So growing up very fast, and that's really amazing, and really loving the ride, so to say.
So you're one of the original people from the company.
So I'm not like the official founder. So the founder and the original developer of Apple Plus, they started a little bit earlier, but when they made their first like three hires, I was one of those three hires back in September 2012. So been working hard to really make ad blocking as mainstream as possible, and that's been a great ride
with ad blocking. And I'm sorry for my ignorance on this. Is there any way blockchain can work with ad blocking?
Right. So it is one of the things that we are a little bit looking into. One of our competitors, maybe you know Brave from the Brave browser. They have their Better Attention token.
Okay.
So basically what they're offering is they have like their mobile browser, and that runs like on blockchain. So or at least the online advertising part. So their idea is to really make the user participate in the value exchange. And that is not something... that users are currently really are, because you know you're just being shown ads, and in return you get like free content. But they make like also to give you a few of those better attention tokens if you're exposed to a certain type of advertisements.
Oh wow, that's so really
it's,
cool.
It's a pretty interesting interesting idea, and I think like also blockchain for online advertising is going to be a pretty big disruptive force. I've been a few months back to. Last month was the Digital Marketing Expo in Cologne. It's the biggest online advertising event, and so many of the startups there, like blockchain and everything there. Of course, a lot of the time it's just buzzwords. They just want to have that on their banners, of course, if you start to look into it a little bit more.
Right.
But it's one of those industries that is ripe for disruption, I'd say.
So is this blockchain ad blocking, is this a decentralized browser Or is it, how does that work? Instead of having ads like pop up, you know, I need condoms, or I need, I guess that's what's popping up on my browser. I don't know.
Right.
You're actually investing in this token. So you, I don't quite understand that.
So the idea is, I'm talking about a competitor here. So I apologize. No, it's okay. So the idea is like as a user, you install their browser, and then you are going to be exposed to some of the advertisements that that you will find like on a website. So for example, if you go to your favorite website and like your normal banners are being shown. Now they have like a different ad than you would normally see. So they I think like a different like advertisement here. So they kind of really control the value chain. So the advertisers just like pays like the dollar that would usually go to the publisher, the website that you visit, but then also like 10% or something would siphon off using like their attention token. And that's how you are being paid.
I see. Okay. Interesting. So how did you get into cryptocurrency? What was your start?
Yeah, so basically my introduction to cryptocurrency was back in 2014. That was, I think, 13 even, when the first time that Bitcoin broke through the $1,000 mark at the time. So then it kind of like automatically made it into my tech news feed. Well, at the time, I was just basically interested in the monetary aspect of it. Basically, I waited very patiently until it went back to $500, and then I bought my first little bit of Bitcoin.
Right on, man.
Yeah, that was good. But then it kind of like went down to $350 for, I think, a year, almost two years. And then I made the really big mistake that I kind of lost interest. As I said, this was at the time really just a monetary
aspect. But did you sell? Aspect.
I did. Oh. I sold it. It went up. Yeah. So this is one of my my mistakes, and I'm happy to talk about that. So always HODL. Anyway, so yeah, I sold it when it went up. I think it was in May this year, or a little bit earlier, even March, when it went up like to like $800, $900. And I like, don't I have some Bitcoin somewhere? And I had it, and I was like, oh, I made a few hundred bucks. I'm just gonna sell it. Like, that's great. I'm gonna pay for my holiday this way.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And of course, I have no idea where we are like today, being like, what is it, $5,800? So yeah, that was really my first step into Bitcoin and into cryptocurrencies. But yeah. I think the second time that I really got into it, that's really, I think, started like 3 or 4 months ago. And with me, a lot of my friends and colleagues, everybody is now on a very different level of like wanting to get in cryptocurrencies. And for me, I've been reading up on it like so much more, following the right people on Twitter, going to, you know, Reddit, all of those kind of like places, listen to your podcast to kind of like continuously learn and develop myself in this space. Okay. And now I have a little bit more of a fundamental understanding of the technology. And now it's now for me just great to be part of it. And it's I'm not going to lie that the monetary aspect is still there, but it's for me, it's on the second place right now.
No, man,
it's just being...
I'm totally with you with that. It's about investing as well. And that's one of the reasons why I am so much of an advocate for it. It's because I think that, you know, it's the average people like, you know, you or me, just people with jobs have a couple hundred bucks could go out there and do something with that money. That's amazing. We never had this opportunity before. What are you most excited about in cryptocurrency right now?
So to make draw a little bit of a parallel with like ad blocking, like, started off as just this very nerd tech savvy, you know, product that was just installed by a few hundred thousand users 5 or 8 years ago. Right. And the whole online advertising industry, you know, it's a terrible industry. They just, for years, they just like smashed like as many annoying advertisements in the user experience of users. And they literally broke almost the web with their advertisements. And then at some point, users really started to see that they could take charge, they could take control. And, you know, they installed AdBlocks to remove those annoying ad formats. I think we're kind of like at the same point there with crypto. I love the pure disruptive character of it. Like those huge established industries, they, you know, that have been able to make billions and billions of dollars over the last years without doing any innovation or putting their customer first. I think the remittance industry is always a great example for that. Where people that work really, really hard and to send like a few hundred bucks back home every month, a lot of poor countries, they pay, I think, like $30-$40 of like transaction fees, if not higher. And I think those kind of industries, they really deserve to be disrupted. So for me, that disruptive character, I love that. I love industries being disrupted. And I think blockchain and a lot of the cryptocurrencies, some of the projects, what you see, are doing exactly that.
Which currency are you excited about right now? What if you were going to go into your trading platform? First of all, what platform do you use? What are you trading with? And what was your first one? Which one do you think is the best? And when you go there, what are you buying and what are you holding?
So the first platform I did my first trade was on Mt. Gox.
Okay.
So, right, yeah. It was a different time back in the day.
Yeah, it was a different time, exactly.
That's where I come off. Like now I'm mostly doing my transactions on Bittrex and on Kraken. Mm-hmm. And Coinbase, of course. In Europe, it's great to, you know, deposit your euros and get Bitcoin in return. Right.
In Europe, sure. One second, I want to cut you off. Is mm-hmm. Coinbase good for depositing your euro and getting it back out to your bank?
It works pretty well. The only thing is there is a little bit of a delay. I think of like between 1 and 2 working days.
Okay.
So that can be, of course, very annoying, especially what that happened when the whole China dip,
right.
a few weeks back. You know, you have to act fast, and then you kind of like have to wait for a business day, which in crypto can cost you a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry for interrupting. I was just curious about that one.
Yeah, no. So, and actually, I think they published a blog post, like, I think 1 or 2 days ago, that they make now transactions like instant, but
yes.
I'm not sure. It looked like that was for US only. I'm actually not sure if that applied to Europe too, but yeah, I have to read up on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, let's see. And the next time I'm going to deposit something, I'll find out, I guess, whether it's faster or not.
Yeah, right. Well, let us know at Crypto 101 so we can spread the word. Okay, anyway, you're on Bittrex. What are you buying?
Started because there are so many interesting projects out there. Also, a lot of like crappy projects. So what I try to do is try to force myself into a position to really focus first on the big three, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin, mm-hmm. to kind of have the majority of my holdings in that area. So right. kind of like building up my portfolio as you would do with a stock portfolio. So kind of like, you know, those are the safe bets, so to say.
Right.
So I'm very interested in a few of those cryptocurrencies that have really that that make it like as anonymous as possible. Mm-hmm. So Monero and Zcash are two projects that I think there's a huge value for those projects. So I think if you like it or not, but of course, like the Silk Road and all those kind of like places, it's kind of where you see the real actual use cases, because a lot of those projects are, you know, what they could potentially do in a certain amount of years, but then you can actually see it already being put to work. And I think that is, yes, maybe not the best use case, but it is at least a tangible use case. Then let's see,
Go ahead.
I thought that China is an amazing country, would have been for cryptocurrencies. I've for my work, I sometimes go to Asia, and it's for me, it's unbelievable to see, like, in China, people don't use cash anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like everything they pay with WeChat,
right.
and other apps.
Yep.
Alipay, even vending machines, you know, yep. they have their QR codes. And so I thought like China would be an amazing, you know, country for a lot of the cryptocurrencies and a lot of like the project to actually start off. So I got some NEO and some OMG, which are two projects that I really liked. But of course, now everything in China is a bit more difficult. But yeah, let's see how that's going to progress. I still am hopeful that the Chinese government is going to backtrack a little bit.
Philosophical question for you.
Right.
It's actually been on my mind. I don't know how people think about it. Bitcoin is going through another hard fork with the Segway 2X.
Right.
I don't know how much you know about it, but it was decided basically by a handful of people to go through this scaling to get Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is turning more into a centralized kind of currency. We see how beneficial a centralized bank or currencies or whatever work for people, like in China. So like you just said, WeChat, you can pay anywhere, the convenience store, the vending machines, the taxis, out to dinner, anywhere. Wouldn't it be more beneficial for everybody just to centralize a bank, get an app, scan QR codes all over the world and just have the banks deal with it? Or are you really for this decentralization?
No, I'm absolutely for the decentralization, because I think banks I think we've tried it over the last decades, and of course they've been doing some good stuff. But I do think that the whole crisis that happened in 2008, almost like triggering the Satoshi white paper, like in 2009, right. After that huge crisis, and we're still picking up the parts from that. And right. That whole industry just said that we're going to do better, but like there is no evidence that that is happening. Nobody has. Right. Been going to jail for literally making trillions evaporate within time for a few weeks. So I think there's always going to be a role for banks, but I do believe that this bottom-up decentralized money exchange is going to be like incredibly important. And again, falling back to the remittance industry example, I think there's so much room for disruption there. And I think that can only benefit us, the people.
What is one of your biggest mess ups in the crypto space so far, besides selling Bitcoin right. at 500 or 800, whatever you sold it?
Yeah, $800. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was like.
Man, that's okay. You know what? That's really okay. After holding for a year at when it was like 300, it's like
right. No, it is. So I think two mistakes. So one is definitely not like hodling onto my very very cheap Bitcoin. And the second was, and that kind of like goes back to you to the whole like S2X hard fork. Bitcoin Cash at the time in August, right before that happened. Like it's one of those things as a newcomer to crypto, it's very confusing, those hard forks. Mm-hmm. It is very confusing.
Right.
To follow that debate, which can now especially if you see like if you're on Twitter, like almost all of the main stakeholders in crypto have their no S2X right. tag next to their name. And the debate gets like very high. And it's hard to be able to really objectively inform yourself about this. But at the time, like I thought maybe Bitcoin Cash is going to become the new Bitcoin. Mm. So I actually went out of my way to buy some Bitcoin Cash. And of course, that just like literally broke down to what is now $300 or something. So that is, I think, also a big mistake. But that is, I don't want to say it's my personal mistake. It's just kind of almost like it's just hard to really understand what is going on with those forks and what is going to be the new Bitcoin. And I thought there was like a technical reason or a product reason almost why Bitcoin Cash would actually prevail over Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. The shorter times, the low transaction fees. But yeah, that was apparently a wrong call.
So then you bought in Bitcoin Cash around 600 then, yeah?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
650. Yeah, I think it was.
Can still get up there. It could be like your old Bitcoin.
I know. You never know what's going to happen. But yeah, I kind of like lost trust. But I'm not making the mistake of like selling out early. I'm just hodling.
Okay. So with that experience under your belt, a lot of people are getting confused. A lot of newcomers in the game. It's very hard to even keep track of one coin to figure out all the FUD, the hype, the rumors, this, that, the other thing. What's your one advice to somebody that's getting into the game, wants to put some money in?
First of all, even though there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of things going on, there's also some great resources out there. Identify them, follow them on Twitter, subscribe to the right subreddits. There's a lot of great information out there. Some YouTube channels are really good. Some podcasts can be very helpful. And try to continuously learn and trying to be like at the forefront of like the debates when it comes to like any of the new hard forks. And what for me also helps is if you're playing around. If you get into it, like it kind of like forces you to study, to read upon it. So I genuinely see it as kind of like a gamified education almost, because I love the technology. Maybe at some point my career will take me this way. And right now I'm being forced, to actually look into all of the different projects, just be on top of it. And it really forces you to educate yourself as much as possible. And I think that's actually great.
So what are your, what are your top resources? You said, resources online, Twitter's podcasts, which ones do you recommend?
So I'm reasonably active on Twitter. I think Twitter is actually a great starting point because I have my own cryptocurrency list that I made with like what I so far identified as important people, and that just a lot of the Bitcoiners are very active on Twitter. Even like founders like Mr. Lee from Litecoin is on there, and there's a lot of debates also happening on Twitter. So it really gives you a great overview of what is going on, and people share great links and great resources. because they're more trustworthy than you would maybe be able to find through one of those Telegram groups or Slack groups, because there's a lot of, shilling going on. And you have to be very careful, you know, who to trust and who not.
So who is that one person that you said there's a lot of people online that you follow, you have a list of people. Who's that one person that you really respect? When they say something on Twitter or wherever you're looking, you go, I'm going to listen to that, and that's what I'm going to run with.
I actually have to get back to Vitalik Buterin from like the Ethereum project. Yeah. I think he is one of the most respected people in the industry. Also, what he did with the Ethereum is really allowing the industry to really scale up and so many more projects, innovations to actually, you know, become part of like the whole blockchain revolution or whatever you want to call it. So I think, whatever he is doing is, I think, something you should definitely pay attention to.
So there's always the debate of NEO or Ethereum. They're kind of like doing the smart contracts thing. Right. Which one are you with? Are you an ETH guy or a NEO guy?
So I would give like the leg up to Ethereum right now, because they are not as big in China as NEO is, or at least is originating from. So I would put right now my money on Ethereum, but keep a close eye on NEO.
Right on. And I have this annoying echo in my earphones. I can hear myself like 5 times. I don't know why this happens. So right. But is there anything else that you want to just get out there for our newcomers, people that are getting into crypto? This could be the first podcast episode that they listen to in their whole crypto career. What would you tell them?
Right. You know, like those people that are listening and just want to get into it, they're like me. And it's you don't need to be the smartest person to actually be able to educate yourself to a point to make informed decisions. Mm. It can be very overwhelming in the beginning. There are so many concepts from like mining to nodes to hard forks, and you can completely like lose overview there. But there are so many amazing resources out there online. And my only advice would be just educate yourself as much as possible. Otherwise, you're going to lose probably a lot of money, spending it on a project that you should not be spending on. In all honesty, like this podcast has been a great resource for me.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's because it's not focused on the day-to-day fluctuations, the day-to-day, you know, the weekly FUD or hype or whatever is going on. It really like analyzes some of the core concepts behind the technology. And I think, that is a great starting point. And there's a lot more out there. But education will be my main recommendation there.
A new guy getting into it is going to lose a couple $100.
Sure.
That's okay.
Right. And that's how you learn. That's like, that's the hard lessons that you learn. If you watch your nice portfolio tracker and you see, the few bets that you made, the few investments that you made, and you see like 60% of the value evaporated within a month. But you also have like the ones that do work. And I think, both, you just learn. And, and with that knowledge, you're going to be able to make better decisions over time.
Because I think that, if other people hear bad things happen to people, then they are more willing to take risks, because then they know this is going to happen. I'm okay with it. What was your biggest loss? My biggest loss was about $2,700 on ETH.
Okay, so my biggest loss would be, that would be on my investment on Bitcoin Cash. And I only did that with like 300 euros. So I think that right now, like 150 euros, evaporated there.
And that's
so,
okay.
So far, it's, it's okay.
Yo, Plas, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Great, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a little different than usual, but I really enjoyed it. If you want to come on and just talk about your experience in the crypto world, please send me an email, or just, send me an email for any reason you want. crypto.101@outlook.com. You can find us on Twitter, crypto_101. You can find us on Instagram, crypto_101. You can find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, Tumblr, crypto101. Tell us what's up. We're cool. We'd love to have you. We'd love to just talk, love to rap out. Also, if you want to join the Crypto 101 team and you're somebody out there that, you know, is a blog writer, Ross would like to have some help. Kaya would like to have some help on in marketing. We're still growing. If you do anything else, website design, marketing, digital marketing, e-marketing, videographer, whatever, you know, just send us an email. Let's wrap out. Let's have a Skype chat. Let's talk about it. Remember, we're just some dudes that got together and said, you know what? We need to have and fill this gap in the crypto world to bring just normal information to people about the blockchain, about getting into this game. And we really hope that you enjoyed the show. And last but not least, the songs today were by Foo Fighters, Everlong, Martin Fisher, Solstice, and the XX intro. Thank you very much. This is Matthew Aaron with Crypto 101.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.